This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
Today I'm going to be talking about the biology of grandmaternal love. As a species, humans have been characterized as cooperative breeders. This means that mothers typically receive help from others in raising their offspring, although the source of that help can vary both across and within societies. We often think of fathers as particularly important helpers, but grandmothers are also highly valued caregivers. In fact, evidence from small-scale traditional human societies has shown that grandmothers often improve child survival, and they can also decrease maternal interbirth intervals, thereby increasing maternal fertility. Grandmothers can also promote positive psychosocial development in their grandchildren. According to the grandmother hypothesis, the inclusive fitness benefits of grandmaternal caregiving selected for an extension of the human female lifespan up to decades beyond the cessation of reproduction, a life history strategy that is unique to humans among primates. In addition to benefiting their children and their grandchildren, grandmaternal caregiving may also benefit grandmothers themselves. For example, we know that grandmaternal care is associated with improved health and cognition, as well as decreased mortality. If there has been selection for grandmaternal caregiving, then it's quite possible that humans have evolved biological adaptations to support it. Oxytocin is a hormone and neuropeptide that's known to promote multiple types of caregiving, including maternal care, paternal care, and alloparental care. Oxytocin has its biological effects by binding to the oxytocin receptor. The oxytocin receptor is known to be critically involved in parental caregiving. For example, infusion of an oxytocin receptor antagonist into the medial preoptic area or the ventral tegmental area of the brain of rat mothers has been shown to disrupt maternal behavior. There is now considerable evidence that the oxytocin receptor gene can be epigenetically regulated, especially early in life. This means that the environment can influence the expression of the gene. For example, prairie vole pups that receive more maternal care, designated as man 1 in this graph, have more oxytocin receptor gene expression within the nucleus accumbens. Not only is oxytocin receptor gene expression dynamic in early life, but there's evidence that it can fluctuate across the entire lifespan in humans. Note the increase in expression that begins around age 65, shown in this diagram. The gene that codes for the oxytocin receptor consists of 4 exons and 3 introns. The MT2 region is a 405 base pair region overlapping exon 1 and intron 1 that has been shown to regulate transcription both in vitro and in vivo. DNA methylation is one mechanism of epigenetic regulation of genes. DNA methylation of the MT2 region is associated with decreased expression of the oxytocin receptor gene. Within MT2, the association between DNA methylation and expression is strongest for sites -901, -924, and -934, which reference their positions relative to the translation start site. So based on this evidence, we made the following predictions. First, that grandmaternal status would be associated with lower DNA methylation across the MT2 region, including sites -901, -924, and -934. And second, that among grandmothers, methylation at these sites would be negatively correlated with grandmaternal involvement and attachment. To test these predictions, we recruited a sample of 51 grandmothers who had at least one biological grandchild between the ages of 3 and 12 years. We also recruited a sample of 49 non-grandmother control females who were all mothers. Both grandmothers and controls provided us with demographic information and saliva samples for DNA methylation analyses. Grandmothers additionally completed questionnaires about their level of involvement with and attachment to their grandchild. Grandmothers were approximately 3 years older than non-grandmother controls on average, and grandmothers had lower income than controls. Grandmothers and controls did not differ significantly on the number of children they had. The proportion of grandmothers who were partnered did not differ from the proportion of controls who were partnered. And finally, for each racial category, the racial makeup of grandmothers and controls did not significantly differ, except for Asians versus non-Asians. So who were the grandmothers in our sample? What were some of their characteristics? First, they reported very high levels of positive affect and supportive engagement towards their grandchildren. Second, they were typically less involved in instrumental caregiving than the parents were, and their degree of involvement closely matched their preferred level of involvement. Third, 10 of the 51 grandmothers lived with their grandchild, and 3 of those 10 were custodial grandmothers. Fourth, 17 of the grandmothers were working full-time, 9 were working part-time, and 24 were either retired or not working. Fifth, only 12% showed more than minimal depressive symptomology, and they reported only rarely feeling lonely or isolated. Sixth, they reported little to no financial strain. And seventh, they reported relatively little disability due to pain. So in summary, the grandmothers who enrolled in our study were mentally and physically very healthy and were highly positively involved with their grandchildren. As such, they're probably not a representative sample of the population of grandmothers as a whole. And now for our results. First, as predicted, grandmothers had less methylation than controls across the entire MT2 region and at sites minus 901 and minus 934 specifically. However, the two groups did not differ at site minus 924. We also conducted an exploratory analysis across the entire oxytocin receptor gene and identified 2 differential methylated regions. Differential methylated region 1 was located in exon 3, and differential methylated region 2 was located in exon 1 and overlapped with the MT2 region. Both of these regions showed significantly lower percentage methylation in the grandmothers compared with the controls. It's important to note that all of these differences between grandmothers and controls persisted after controlling for differences in age and race in multiple linear regression models. We also found that lower methylation within the DMR2 region was associated with more positive feelings between the grandmother and grandchild, which in turn was associated with greater positive engagement with the grandchild. While we measured oxytocin receptor gene methylation in saliva, there is reason to believe that peripheral methylation levels may be relevant to levels of methylation in the brain. For example, in prairie voles, less peripheral methylation of the oxytocin receptor gene is associated with greater expression of the gene within the nucleus accumbens in the brain. As Sue Carter and others have pointed out, oxytocin has several anti-aging effects by inhibiting oxidative stress, inflammation, oncogenetic mutations, and telomere shortening. It also has known neuroprotective effects, which begs the question of whether it can slow brain aging. Human brain aging involves well-characterized, region-specific, nonlinear changes in gray matter and white matter that can be detected with structural MRI scans. Could it be that increased oxytocin signaling tends to make grandmaternal brains younger? There is, in fact, a precedent for this idea among parents. In a sample of over 13,000 participants from the UK Biobank, Ning and colleagues showed that subjects with two or three offspring had significantly reduced brain age compared to those without offspring. Since the effect was present in both men and women, it cannot be attributed to physiological exposures during pregnancy. To test the possibility that grandmaternal caregiving is associated with having a younger brain, we collected whole brain structural MRI scans from the same sample of grandmothers described above and from a new sample of non-grandmother controls. Using participants' structural MRI scans, we applied the brain age machine learning algorithm to estimate the difference between participants' brain age and their chronological age. Compared with non-grandmother controls, grandmothers were of similar age, had less education, marginally lower household income, higher BMI, and they exercised more. With respect to race, grandmothers were also more likely to be Black than controls. After controlling for these potential confounding variables, we determined that grandmothers had a brain age that was 5.5 years younger than that of the control group. Brain age was not associated with the total number of grandchildren or with the age of the youngest grandchild. On the other hand, brain age was negatively associated with age at becoming a grandmother for the first time, such that women who became a grandmother later in life derived more benefit in terms of reduced brain age. These findings are interesting in light of a study of Norwegian parents by Christensen et al., showing that becoming a grandmother lowered mortality only when it occurred after 50 years of age. We also found that grandmothers who spent more time caring for their grandchild and grandmothers who were more positively engaged with their grandchildren had lower brain ages compared to less involved and engaged grandmothers. So in summary, first, we found that grandmothers have lower peripheral oxytocin receptor gene methylation, which is associated with positive feelings between the grandmother and grandchild. And second, we show that grandmothers have lower brain age, which is associated with increased positive engagement and time spent with the grandchild. Finally, we were interested in whether decreased oxytocin receptor gene methylation might explain lower brain age in grandmothers. If so, we would expect the two variables to be correlated across subjects. Unfortunately, the brain age and DNA methylation data were collected from two separate samples of control subjects, so we could not evaluate this in our control subjects. However, among grandmothers, while there was no direct correlation between the two variables, mediation analysis revealed a significant indirect path from low oxytocin receptor DNA methylation to low brain age by way of increased positive affect toward and positive engagement with the grandchild. Well, why might grandmaternal caregiving slow brain aging? One possibility is that grandmothers are more physically active and that this contributes to improved health and greater longevity. Another possibility is that interactions with grandchildren, as well as the coordination of their care, provides grandmothers with cognitive stimulation that slows brain aging. It's also possible that grandmaternal caregiving might increase one's overall sense of social integration or social connectedness, both of which are strongly associated with longevity. Finally, caregiving might also enhance meaning and purpose in life, which is also associated with decreased mortality. So our conclusions are, first, that grandmothers may have increased oxytocin signaling that supports grandmaternal bonding and attachment. Second, that grandmaternal bonding and attachment may promote grandmaternal positive engagement. And third, that grandmaternal positive engagement may slow the aging process. With respect to the relevance of these findings to the study of human origins, the grandmother hypothesis posits that grandmaternal caregiving evolved in humans to increase maternal fertility and improve child survival. Our data suggests that increased oxytocin signaling and slower brain aging may be biological adaptations that evolved to support human grandmaternal caregiving. Finally, we can ask, well, what about grandfathers? The situation in grandfathers may be a bit different from that in grandmothers. In contrast to grandmothers, grandfathers retain the physiological capacity to reproduce. In addition, grandparental investment is less consistently associated with grandchild well-being. Therefore, human male longevity could be attributable to the inclusive fitness benefits from grandparental care, the individual fitness benefits from continued reproduction, both of these things, or neither of them. It is unknown whether grandfathers have evolved the same biological adaptations for caregiving that grandmothers have, but this is definitely an interesting question to pursue in future research. Finally, I'd like to thank all of the individuals that you see shown here for contributing to various aspects of this work. And I'd like to thank you for your attention and for listening to my presentation today.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.